That's right. She's going to be fine. Amen. That's right.
All right. Praise God. Let's pray for the man down here. Get your hands this way. Heavenly Father, just pray.
Father, we love you.
Bless this
yes.
man. It's such a precious jewel to us, Lord God, that you sent here in this house. Bless it. And Lord, we just thank you for the words that come out
yes.
of his mouth. For Lord, they're words of truth, words of wisdom, and Lord, words that we can take out into the world and share with other people. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All right, we got a special big treat. My brother, Alan Cahoon, all the way from what is on the other side of Williamson, isn't it? Hassle. Be careful now. We ain't gonna give him a hassle tonight, are we? brother Alan Cahoon, come on up here. Sing for us. I'm gonna turn this mic on. You ready to go? Good man, a great man of God. That's right.
Well, it's good to be back here tonight. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. It's always good to come into God's house and be with his people.
Yes.
And I thank God for you people, and I thank God for the pastor. He's been a dear brother to me over the years, and it's hard to find good, faithful brothers in Christ anymore. It seems like it's hard to find nowadays. But anyway, I hope I sing something that maybe will bless somebody's heart tonight. When I climb to the top of the mountain and I view God's promised land, I was never alone in the valley, for I've been kept by Almighty strong hand. Kept by Almighty strong hand. Every mile that I travel through this troublesome land, I've been kept by Almighty strong hand. When I take my first step down that heavenly strand, I will only thank God that I made it, for I've been kept by Almighty strong hand. Kept by Almighty strong hand, I've been kept by Almighty strong hand. I know some of you people have thought in your Christian walk, I know over the years that you come up against places in life and things that you don't know how to deal with, but you know it's something to know that you can look to the hills which come by strength and lean upon him. You know he's going to see you through. You don't know how it's going to happen, but you know it's going to happen. Fella said they're going to build a bridge when I get there. He said, I don't know how they're going to do it, but when I get there, the bridge will be built. So that's faith. We've got to have that faith. Sometimes it's not easy. He didn't say it would be easy, but he said he'd be with us. And a lot of times, you know, I think about what people think about me, you know, along the way, and they look at you kind of funny, you know. I might as well look at Jesus funny too, didn't he? But I thank God today that we don't have to worry about what people think about us, and we don't have to worry about how people look at us. We just got to look to the hills, look to Jesus. And I thank God for a praying mother. My mother turned 83 years old, July 11th, and she can tell me things that she says, "Are you doing right, boy?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm doing the best I can." She said, "You better continue doing the best you can." She said, "'Cause you don't know the day or the hour when he might call you out of here." She said, "You better be ready." I said, "I'm trying to be ready, Mama, every day." And Brother David, he met my mother. She thought Brother David was a very special man. And she told me to tell you hello, Brother David, today. Yeah. I want to sing my wife's favorite song. Y'all pray for my wife. My wife's in really bad shape. She's in a nursing home over in Windsor, North Carolina. She's got a feed and two men. She's had bed sores on both feet. And she can't move nothing but her right hand. And she can talk a little bit in the morning. She can't hardly talk in the afternoons. But I took her out yesterday. I took her out the 4th of July to the Elizabeth City, North Carolina, to see the fireworks. That's her favorite thing. She loves the fireworks. So I took her there. And sometimes I took her to the drag strip. But y'all keep in your prayers. She's had some setbacks in the last few months. But she tells me every time I see her, she says, don't worry about it. She says, remember one thing. She says, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. So that's the only way to look at it, really. But this is her favorite song. I like this song. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you got peace of mind like you've never known. Things change. You're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good time is still God in the bad time. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but the talk comes easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptation, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good time is still God in the bad time. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night. Now, this is my favorite song. This song says a whole lot to me. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. It whispers, come closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find. Take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. Let disappointments come, lonely days without the sun. It's through sorrow more like you I'll become. Take my houses and land, change my dreams, change my plan. For I'm placing my whole life in your hand. And if you call me today to a land far away. Lord, I'll go and your will obey. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain and comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. Yes, that's what I'll be willing to do.
We go back when both of us didn't have all this gray in our hair. Yeah. Gray is a sign of wisdom. So we're both very wise. I hope. Last night, I talked to my dad and I said, let's go get something to eat because I never know what I'm going to be doing the rest of the week. And he said, all right. And it started thundering and lightning. Dad said, we don't need to go now. I said, yeah, we do. I went over to the house, and it really started getting bad. And Linda said, y'all don't need to go out now. And I said, what's wrong with this? And she said, I forgot you're a man. And so I get to the car, and it's pouring. It starts pouring rain. So I pull over to Daddy's house, and I tooted the horn. And Daddy said, that cannot be. Of course, he calls me Cricket. He said, that can't be Cricket. He said, look down. He said, he couldn't even see the car. He could hear he saw the lights and heard the horn. So he got in the car with me. I pulled up beside the house. He got in the car with me. When we got to the Golden Corral, we got in there before it got started. After the rain, people started coming in. I said, see how smart we were? And Daddy said, you mean how stupid we were? I said, come on, Dad. Well, I decided last night with him I was going to make a difference. And so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, too, is difference makers. Of course, you ain't got to get out in the rain to be a difference maker. Amen. But today, talking about Joshua and talking about Caleb, that's a very special story to me. It's one very dear to my heart. I think about it all the time. I think about these scriptures all the time. This morning, I read this part of Numbers 14. Then Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel. That was Numbers 14 and 6. The children of Israel saying, the land which we possessed through the searching is exceeding good land. And if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth milk and honey. Only now don't rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. They are nutritious for us. They actually are going to cause you to grow. Battles cause us to grow. Problems cause us to grow. When you feel like you just can't go on, if you'll take that next step, you actually will grow more than you ever imagine. For their defense is departed for them, and the Lord is with them, fear them not. But of course, the Bible says all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of God appeared in the tabernacle before the children of Israel. And he said, I don't even want them to go anymore. I'm going to take care of it. But these guys here, Moses interceded for the people. But I want to go to verse 24. We didn't talk about this morning. Talking about Caleb and Joshua. Talking about Caleb first. Now, my servant Caleb, verse 24, Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Let me just read it in another translation. My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit or a different attitude, has followed me fully, and I'll bring him into the land which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. That's some very powerful, powerful stuff. But let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your word. Lord, we really, in this day and time, we've got to get up and get ready to step forward, because if the church don't, the world's in trouble. because we see this with Iran. We see this stuff going on with ISIS. We see this stuff happening right in our very front, or right in our backyards, and if we're not careful, it's going to be in our front yard before we know it. These servicemen being killed, this lady being shot in the neck and being killed. We see all this stuff going on in the civil unrest and the even the ethnic unrest, and we even see that the races are, the world's trying to provoke a big race war. Father, I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to be a Joshua and be a Caleb, and not crawl back in a hole somewhere, not to crawl underneath the porch, but help us to stand up and to be strong and to be counted. Father, this is the last, not only the last day, but it's actually the last minutes. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to help us to be ready in all that's going around us, and help us to be difference makers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, what does it mean? How many want to be a difference maker? Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to be different? You know, I mean, think about it. What does it mean to be different? Now, there's a lot of people that are different that maybe not necessarily going to have a Joshua and Caleb spirit. So let's try to get this in the right perspective. What does it mean to be different? It means not to conform to a standard, to not be normal. Let me ask you in here. Point to somebody that's not necessarily what you consider normal. That's what I say. See, everybody's pointing at their cell. That's good. That's awesome. With the exception of a few, everybody's pointing at their cell. Look. Not to conform to the standard, or not to be normal. Different, being different. Did you know that being different can be a positive thing? A very positive thing. Matter of fact, God loves different. God loves different so much that He made all these races, that He made all these colors. At the Tower of Babel, He confounded and made all those languages. God loves different. Matter of fact, you look at different singers, look at different churches, the difference in different churches and different pastors and different Christians. You'll see different is not always a bad thing. Being different can be a very positive thing. Look at somebody and say, it's very positive that I'm different. It's a positive thing that I'm different. It's a positive thing that I'm different. You know, God has called us to be different in order. If you're not different, here, listen to this carefully. If you're not different, then you can't be a difference maker. Woo! So thank God we're different. Thank God that we're not all alike. Thank God that we don't all conform. Thank God that not everybody considers us normal. Amen? If you're not different, then you can't be a difference maker. Amen? So I thank God for us being different. God created us in His image. He wants us to have dominion. And because He wants us to have dominion, especially His children right now, we can stand up and make a difference with all this stuff with Iran, all this stuff with ISIS, all this stuff going on around us. The government, I believe with all my heart, is trying to start a race war in this United States. With all this that's going on around us, you know what? God give us dominion over all this. And because He give us dominion, we have the answer. We can stand up and make a difference. We can stand up and bring a halt to all this. Amen? And Jesus calls us. He said, the Lord says, He said, you didn't choose me. He said, I chose you. And I chose you to make a difference. So we're supposed to be light on a hill. I mean, a city on a hill. We're supposed to be salt. We're supposed to be light. If we're on a hill, you know where we need to be? On Capitol Hill. Amen? That's where we actually need to be to see something happen. The world's crying out for help, and we've got the help. Amen? I remember people when I was at Procter & Gamble, there would be people that would sit there and in the break room would cut me down. They would cuss me like a dog. They would talk junk about me. And as soon as we walked out of that break room where nobody could see them with me, the same person that just cussed me and just talked junk about me pulled me to the side and said, can I talk to you for a minute? And I'm thinking, you just talked to me for a minute. I really didn't like that time. And they go, no, I really want to talk to you. I said, what? And they said, I'm having problems with my children. Or I'm having problems with my marriage. Or I'm having problems here at work. Or I'm having a drug problem. Can you help me? Can you tell me what I can do? You see, people are wanting us to help them. Amen? They want us to help them because they see we're different. Praise God, we're different. Amen. So look, he's called us to be difference makers in our homes, in our families, at work, at school, in church. We are called to make a difference. You know, now here's what a difference maker does. Number one, a difference maker refuses to do nothing. There's too many sideline armchair Christians. God has not called any one of us in here to do nothing. Everybody's got a job. Everybody's got an appointment. Everybody's got a call in their life. God has something for every last one of us to do. He don't want us to. He wants us to refuse not only to do nothing, but refuse to just think, do just enough to get by. You know, I was talking with somebody just the other day, and I asked this person about their job, and they said, "Well, it's 8 hours." I told that person, I said, and I'm close to this person, I said, "I don't want to ever hear that again." And they said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "It's just 8 hours means you're not going to put everything you got in it. It shows me that you're not expecting anything out of them, and you don't expect them to expect anything out of you. It's just enough to get by." And I said, "We're Christians. We are excellent in what we do." I said, "When your boss man asks you how things are going, you ought to tell him, 'I'm glad that I'm here, and I'm glad I got a chance to make a difference. I'm glad I got a chance to do something to make a difference in somebody's life.'" I said, "Next time I ask you how's that job going, if you say 8 hours, we're going to have a problem. 8 hours is 8 hours." I said, "You need to tell me that I am loving every minute of it." Next time I ask them, they said, "Man, my job is awesome." They said, "I'm loving it." I said, "That's the way it's supposed to be." Because, you know, when I was a DJ, the guy that taught me how to DJ, we were in a little bitty station in Benson, but he was from a great big station in Atlanta, Georgia. And he had moved up here after he retired because he was also a homicide investigator with the police force in Atlanta. And so when he retired from being a homicide detective, and also he was doing part-time, then he went full-time with this Atlanta station. He moved up to Benson because he had some family up there. And so when he goes up to Benson, he winds up being the manager of this station. He teaches me how to DJ. He came in there shortly after I was DJing. He said, "Here's what I want you to do." I said, "What?" He said, "Every time you turn that mic on, whether you're sick, whether you're well, whether you got stuff going on good at home or going bad, whether you even want to be here or not," he said, "when you flip that mic on, I want you to smile. Smile." And I said, "Okay, why?" And he said, "Because the people on the other side that are listening to you can feel your smile." He says, "Don't ever turn that flip up switch on with a frown. Always flip that switch with a smile." And he says, "You watch what'll happen. Oh, the Lord blessed. It was awesome." But you know what? That's got to do with being a difference maker. When you go out, when you get in this world, let me tell you something. Refuse to get by and refuse this latest spiritual fads that are going on around us. We need to be good old fashioned. I love Jesus. He loves me. I believe in the cross of Jesus Christ, and I know Jesus has got the answer for this hour, and we're going to stand on our faith and believe that God's going to do what he said he was going to do. Amen. ISIS. They don't want to hear Jesus. Iran don't want to hear Jesus. And you know what? What got me even kind of, I don't understand. We've got some of our people imprisoned in Iran because they're Christians. And while we're doing a nuclear deal, we can't even get our guys back that are Christian, that are over there, because they spoke the name Jesus. What kind of deal is that? No deal. No deal. God's called us to be difference makers. Here's another thing. Characteristics of difference makers. I'm going to try to do this over several Sunday nights. So hopefully, here it goes. Get ready. Difference makers. First, a difference maker carries their cross. They don't expect somebody else to carry it for them. They carry their cross. They bear their load. You know, it's amazing. There's a lot of people that just get wore out in church. They're wore out. You know why they wore out? Because they carry their load and somebody else's all the time. And if everybody would carry their load, it would be so easy for everybody. If everybody just get up and carry the load, man, it's amazing. How many's ever done tug of war? And you're doing tug of war, and all of a sudden you notice the guy behind you not helping. Well, it's really tough. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you what you don't want to be is be a pallbearer. And your arms are a different length than the rest of the guys. And so you're carrying the load, and they're kind of going, look, you see them. You watch their arms. They're going. And you're doing this. The other guy's just going, hey, this is cool, man. It ain't a problem. I said, I reckon not. I'm the one carrying the load. You see, if everybody'd carry their load, man, oh, man, how the church world, how this world would be. The world would be. Not only to carry their cross, and I'm going to sound like I'm contradicting myself, and I'm not. Not only do they carry their load or their cross, but they carry burden or overload of others. There's times in all of our lives we get so overloaded that we can't carry our load. Jesus even proved this when he was carrying his cross up Calvary's hill. Simon of Cyrene had to carry his cross for him because he couldn't carry it all the way because he fell under the weight of the load. There's times when our brothers and sisters will fall under the weight of the load, and when they do, a difference maker will help carry that burden for them. There's a difference when somebody's overloaded and somebody just don't want to carry it. Amen? And then, watch this. They push beyond ordinary. They push beyond their limits. You know, when I was working at Fountain, I used to tell my team every day, they go, I remember we had this yacht, and a 65-foot yacht, and this yacht was one of the Joint Chiefs of Staff owned it, and he was coming down to get it, and Mr. Fountain called me in his office. I said, what is it, Mr. Fountain? He said, the schedule got switched. He's coming a couple of days from now, and he needs an operation manual with pictures telling him how to operate his yacht, everything. He says, do it. Not can you do it, not will you do it, not how can you do it. He said, when he gets here, I want him to have, with pictures, how to operate his yacht. And so I went and got one person in my group, and I told them what Mr. Fountain said, and then they responded, has he lost his mind? And I said, no. Remember the golden rule here. The man with the gold makes the rules. He wants this thing. And they said, we can't do it. And I said, we can't. I said, but you and I know Jesus Christ. That's what I told them. You and I know Jesus. And I said, we're more than able to do this. And so she said, yeah. And it was so awesome because in 2 days we had that thing all fixed up. We had it in a little binder. He got in there and he could operate his yacht, and he had everything he needed to do to operate that yacht. Mr. Fountain said, that's the way to get it done, son. And I said, I just pointed up to Jesus Christ. I pointed up to him. And it was so amazing because all the time it was people were telling you, do something, and all I could hear was, it can't be done, it can't be done, it can't be done. You know why people say it can't be done? Because they very seldom push beyond the ordinary, and they're very seldom pushed beyond their limits. If you learn to be pushed, if you learn to push beyond your limits and push beyond ordinary and be pushed by excellence, you'll be amazed at what we can do. It's awesome what we could get done if we can just push beyond ordinary, push beyond our normal limits, and push and watch what God can do. Amen? So here we go. Here we go. A different spirit. Here it says, of course, spirit and attitude are interchangeable. If you watch in the Bible, whenever you see spirit, when it's talking about somebody's spirit, it's talking about their attitude. Spirit and attitude are always interchangeable. Do you know your spirit? How many of you ever get around somebody and as soon as you get around them, they start draining you? You know people like that? How many of you get around certain people and as soon as you get around them, you know that everything's going to be wrong? They're not going to say anything right. They're going to say everybody's against them. Everything's going wrong. Blah, 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 blah. So there's some people who want to get around. I want to have a violin, so while they're talking, I can play it. And I always say, God, Don't let me be that way. We serve a powerful God, an awesome God. He can do anything. And if we serve a God that can do anything, if He can call out the world with His words, and the world is created, and He can call out and the world, all that's in there is created, and He takes man and molds him, and then blows the breath of life from him. Our God knows the stars by name, and it says the expanse of the universe, which we can't even count, is from one finger to the other. If our God can do that, let me tell you something. We can have a good attitude. We can have an excellent spirit about us and know that we can push it to the limit and watch God do something powerful in our life. And watch this church grow and watch us affect the neighborhood and watch us affect the world. God is waiting for us. Look, we're not waiting for Him. He's waiting for us. You know, that was a big life changer for me when I realized that I wasn't waiting for God. God was waiting for me. Wow. When the priest stuck their foot in the water, then the water parted. God is waiting for us to put our foot in the water so He'll part it for us. So now, watch this. Our attitude determines our approach to life. Sometimes we get up in the morning, you can say, "Good morning, Lord." Woo! Or you can go, "Lord, it's morning. Good Lord, it's morning." How do you do? You know, Linda tells me all the time, she says, if I could bottle what you got and pour it on some toast or just drink it, she says, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, you're just going at it. And says, you're just so happy. So happy. I said, I'm not always happy. I said, but there's times where I'm shouting by faith. Amen. I'm standing up by faith because I know that circumstances are going to follow my attitude. Amen. Our spirit and attitude are interchangeable. It not only determines our approach to life, it determines how we have relationships with people. There are certain people we have problems with. I'm going to tell you what. If you got a person you got a problem with, and you can't avoid them because they're a family member. You can't avoid them because you're married to them or you gave birth to them. Then try something. Try a different attitude with them. Try a different way. Remember what I told you. Men, their number one need is they desire respect. The number one need of a woman is she desires security. And as a man, if you're trying to get along with that person, if you can get in some security, guess what's going to happen? Something good's going to happen. Woman, the females, if they can get some respect in the male, some awesome stuff's going to happen. If you've got a bad attitude towards somebody and they might deserve it, just say, God, help me have a different spirit. Often the only difference between success and failure is our spirit. The only difference. I remember one day I come in there and I was walking down the stairs, and here's the safety manager walking down the stairs, Fountain Power Boats. And here comes a guy flying with a fork truck, and he's got this big old hamper that is supposed to be a hamper that can be turned over and they can spill out. And it was full of fiberglass. The only problem was, and nobody knew it, I didn't know it, the thing, I could climb in it up to here. The only problem was, up to here was filled with fiberglass. Everything had gotten hard. So he was actually dumping this thing every 5 or 10 minutes. We could dump it every hour. That's number one. Number two, he's taking this container that's already kind of heavy, and now when it's that full of fiberglass, can you imagine how heavy it is? I come stepping down the stairs. He's going around the corner. When he goes around the corner, he doesn't notice this 47 lightning. I don't know how you can miss this 47 lightning. 47 foot's a long boat. I mean, it's like on Miami Vice, that big old boat that they had there. That's the same way that Sonny had. And so he comes down and sees this boat, and there's a worker standing on top of it. He tries to hit the brakes, and when he does, because it's full of fiberglass, which I did not know, it flies and it hits the 47 lightning and knocks the guy on the floor. And so I go get in the middle of it and I go work out and try to find out what's going on. The guy's okay. He just went, "Woo, that was a tough one, but okay." And I look and see all this fiberglass. And so I said, why haven't you done anything about this fiberglass? This is your job. Why have you let this fiberglass keep building up? I said, matter of fact, if you don't do something soon, it's going to be so full you can't even use it, a fiberglass. And he said, it's just too hard to get the fiberglass out. And I said, tell me that again. I need to hear this. Because your job's on the line here. I'm not going to do anything about his job, but there's others. And I said, your job's on the line. You need to tell me why you're not emptying this thing. He said, it's just too hard. And I said, I tell you what, you and I are going to have a lesson. He said, what kind of lesson are we going to have, boss? I said, follow me. Bring it with him. I carried it to the shop, and I said, give me a sledgehammer. He gave me a sledgehammer, and I said, you can beat this fiberglass out of here. And he said, can't do it. I said, stand back, get me some gloves. And I got going. It got good to me, actually. And I beat out about that much in a couple of minutes. And he just stood there and went. You see, and his attitude was, it couldn't be done. And he was spending more time, more effort. He was, every 15 minutes was emptying this, but it could be emptied every hour. He was causing problems, running into boats, all kinds of stuff, because it was so heavy. And if he'd have taken a little bit of time to beat it, just go ahead and beat that fiberglass out, he'd have been fine. He said, I didn't know you could do that. And I told him, I said, do not take it back out until you've beat every bit of it out. He said, yes, sir. Again, listen. Many times, the only difference between success and failure is our attitude and how we see things and how things look. I mean, I didn't even work his area. I just knew that you could take a sledgehammer and break it out. He'd been working it for years and just let him keep building up till he threw the thing away. Wow. So watch. Your attitude can turn problems into blessings. I can't say it enough. Your attitude can turn your problems into blessings. Because when you come in with a positive attitude, I'm not talking about some kind of name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, but a positive faith, you can watch God, He'll work for you. And the greatest example of the great difference-making attitude is Caleb. All right. Eddie, there it goes again, bro. I hope it's just that little track. Maybe you said, we need a light that can handle preaching. Caleb, all this nation, they're waiting. There's 1.5 million Jews, and they're waiting to hear about the promised land. And 12 people, leaders, guys that are supposed to be top notch with great attitudes and lead them into battle and lead them all over. These guys are supposed to go over there and come back and tell them what they've seen. And they come back and say, it's exactly like Moses said. Look at this. Look at these grapes. Look at this stuff. But nevertheless, there's giants there. I would kind of get that thought when God said, go possess it. They were possessed means take by force. There's going to be giants there. How many just lately has had a promise for God from God and you looked at what you heard, the promise in your heart, and you looked out and saw the giants and said, never mind, Lord. Never mind. I didn't know it was going to be that hard. I had no idea I was going to have to fight. If I knew I had to fight, I wouldn't go possess it. Those 10 guys come back and said that. Said, those guys are going to whip us. We don't stand a chance. And Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to take it. God is on our side. He's taking their defense home. They're bred for us. Here, watch this. Here's Caleb. He had a different kind of passion. First, Caleb followed God. The Bible says he followed him with all of his heart. Wow. Wow. Have you noticed when a lot of times when people, when they start dating and they get serious, they might be dating 2, 3, 4, 5 other people. And then when they get serious, all of a sudden they're just dating one. And then when they're dating that one, and then they just can't get enough of each other, so they're like together all the time. And then they get married. And when they get married, they start seeing things they didn't see when they were just dating. Because you're not living with that person. Even if you live with that person, you know the odds are if a person lives with a person, they have a greater chance of a divorce if they live with them before marriage than a person that doesn't live with somebody before marriage. They have a greater chance of divorce. When you get married and say, I do, that commitment, once that commitment starts, all of a sudden, you start doing this if we're not careful. You got to watch. You'll start doing this. It's because, and then you start having problems, and many times stuff will break up, marriage will break up because where you had that whole heart, wholeheartedly, now it's not there anymore. You quit talking, you quit communicating, things get bad. Watch this. Caleb followed God completely. It meant he gave his whole heart to God, no reserve, no retreat, no regrets. God, I'm yours. God, I'll go in and I'll fight if I die in battle. You know, when they asked Stonewall Jackson, how can you be so calm? Stonewall Jackson, one of the greatest fighting generals we ever had in the Civil War. I'm pretty sure within the next few months, his statue will try to yank his statue down off of Monument Boulevard down Richmond. Which is stupid. But this is part of the United States government to spawn racism. And to spawn a race war. The flag was just a part of it. Taking down that Confederate flag, you watch. They're already talking about taking down Confederate monuments all over the South. Before long, if they have their way, there'll be no Confederate monuments anywhere in the South. Watch. Somebody needs to say something. This isn't about racism, about heritage. But Stonewall Jackson, they asked him, how could it be so calm on the field? He said, because I know God called me to do this. And he says, I know that my God's in control, and I'm just as safe on the battlefield as I am home in my bed. If we could have that kind of attitude, I'm just as safe on my job as I am home in my bed. I'm just as safe wherever I go as I am home in my bed. Wow. He held nothing back. He gave everything to God. He walked in a new strength. His strength was from God, not from himself. His confidence was in God, not in himself. And his future was in God's hands, not in his hands. Wow. Can you imagine if you could have that in your head? If you could go to midnight and say, Lord, my strength comes from you. My confidence is in you. And my future is in your hands. And keep that and keep telling yourself that all the time. Can you imagine what we could do for God? Oh, it's amazing. Caleb followed God with a new strength, walked with a new strength, and he followed God through the challenges. And I'm getting ready to close. It's not Sunday morning, but still I'm getting ready to close. Caleb followed God through these challenges. Watch this. You think it was just the army that he was fighting? Nope. Or the giants? Nope. I guarantee you, what he had to fight, we had to fight every day. Watch this. First, there was the challenge of the enemy. He had to fight massive armies, walled cities, but he knew his God was greater than those mighty armies and those walled cities. Matter of fact, he watched them come tumbling down. Jericho, the walls came tumbling down. Amen? First there was a challenge of the enemy. Then there was a challenge of the opposition. The people saw the enemy, and they compared the enemy to themselves. And said, we're not sufficient. Anytime you got a problem and compare it to yourself, you lose. Listen to me. If you've got a problem in your marriage, you got a problem in your job, you got a problem in your own life, and you compare that problem to you, automatically, write it down, you lose. But if you compare that problem in your marriage, in your family, in your own life, to God, when you compare it to God, you win. When the Israelites were on the side of the mountain, they saw Goliath and they said, he's too big, we can't fight him. And David said, David said, he's too big, I can't miss him. You see, they were comparing themselves to Goliath and David compared Goliath to God. There's a big difference. The people saw the enemy, they melted in fear. But he knew that God was greater. And at 85 years old, after he done fought for 45 years for everybody else, at 85 years old, he said, give me this mountain. And he went and fought some more giants, take the mountain that he lived on. And named it Mount Hebron, man, which means to intercede by internet by supernatural means and to get it because something supernatural. God help him. And then he had the challenge of the giants. God said, I'll give you what you want. Here he is. He wants the land of the giants. I don't want the easy way. Give me the hard way. God was greater than any challenge in his life. At 85 years old, he took the giants down and owned them. Isn't that awesome? That's one of the sayings we got today. I got owned. You ever heard that? I got owned, or they owned them. Praise God. My question tonight is, are you going to have a different spirit? I mean a different spirit, a different attitude. One that doesn't look at everything and compare yourself to it. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of things I am not equal to. You know, I was talking with a manager of a big operation just yesterday. And they were asking my opinion about something. And I was talking with them. And then they started with all these excuses. And this was one of the main managers of this big operation. And I said, well, here's one of your problems right here. And they started giving me excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. And I said, you know what excuses are? He said, what? I said, nails that build a house of failure. And he said, ouch. I said, you're telling me you can't do this? I said, I've seen this operation all over North Carolina, and you're the only place I see this problem. The only one. And you're telling me that it can't be fixed? I said, this problem's been going on for well over a year. And he said, excuses are nails that build a house of failure. And I said, yes. And next thing, I started hearing this. And I said, what's going on? I was on the phone with him. He said, I'm ordering that stuff. I said, you just told me you couldn't order it. It wouldn't work. He said, you know what? It'll work. He says, I'm ordering it right now. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah. And then he said, but I can't get my people to get into it. These are hired people. And I said, let me tell you something. Here's what I told him. I said, something I learned at Fountain. He says, well, I said, because I was in charge of all the audits. What isn't inspected is not respected. And again, he went, ouch. And I said, do you want your company to flourish? He said, yes. I said, do you want to flourish? He said, yes. I said, and I didn't even know I was going to preach this tonight. I said, you need a different attitude. And I said, you're a Christian. He said, yes. I said, guess what? You can do this. You got a higher power backing you up. The power behind you is much greater than the force in front of you pushing you back down. Now get up and make a difference. He said, yes, sir, I will. And he says, you'll be hearing from me soon. We're already going here making the changes right now. My question, are you willing to have that different spirit? To push yourself, to go beyond your limits, to go beyond your comfort zone, to go beyond your comfort. Are you willing to make a difference? Because if you are, God's got something in store for you. That's all, Stan. All right, sister, can one of y'all play something? Caleb had a different spirit. He weren't looking for excuses. The other guys were making excuses. They're just too big. We can't fight them. We don't have enough to go against them. And Caleb said, we're more than able. We're more than able. We're more than able. We're more than able. I like that song. That's a good attitude song. I want us to sing this song, and I want you to pray while we're singing it. If you want to come up here and pray, that's fine. You can sit in your seat and pray, but you ask God to help you have that different attitude. Don't look around and look at what is. Don't be a thermometer. A thermometer looks around and lets you know what everything's about. But a thermostat looks around and sees what it is and turns it into what can be. I want to be a thermostat, not a thermometer. I want to be able to take things and change into what they can be through God's help. Ready? I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Why? Jesus will not fail me. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be. Sing that again. Come on. I shall not be. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Come on, one more time. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to live in the land of excuses, or do you want to live in the land to get it done? Amen. You know what? Every time I see Brother Billy, how old are you, 86 or 87? 87. Every time I see him out there mowing the grass, you know what I say? There's Caleb's grass mowing service. 85 years old, taking that land. I see him out there mowing that grass, even after being at the nursing home all day long, coming back and mowing that grass. Caleb, look, Caleb's lawn mowing service. He's out there getting it done. Amen. Do you want to live in the land of getting it done or the land of excuses? Amen. If you live in the land of excuses, I can tell you what, you're going to be miserable. Miserable. Not only are you going to be miserable, you're going to be finding fault with everything. But if you're in the land to get it done, you say, it don't matter what everybody else is thinking. We're going to make something happen. Amen. With God's help, something's going to happen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for all that you've done for us, all that you've said for us in your word. I thank you, God, that you have given us more than enough to get the job done. I thank you, God, for this night. I thank you, God, for everybody that's here, Lord. And I thank you, God, for Alan Calhoun, too, Lord. Bless him, Lord, and bless his wife. Father, we know this night something good has already happened. And, Lord, seeds have been planted. Awesome seeds, Lord, have been planted. And now it's up to us. God's not waiting. Or listen, we're not waiting for God. God is waiting for us. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us go to bed with that in our mind. We're not waiting for God. God is waiting for us to have that excellent spirit. 10 spies died a tragic death, being eat up with the plague. But two of them went all the way through the 40 years in the wilderness, and then went through and conquered the promised land. God, listen, you're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lamb of God. You're dismissed. You did awesome tonight. I even